This is the WRMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning, streaming worldwide on the WRMJ app. Also, WRMJ.com. We have live in the studio today first-year head football coach of the Mercer County Golden Eagles, Tanner Matlick, a 2013 graduate, so celebrating, what, the 10-year class reunion and becoming head football coach. How have things been going transition-wise for you, Coach?
It's been an awesome summer, Jim. I mean, coming in, I didn't really know what to expect, didn't know a ton of the kids by name or by face. I hadn't been around the program for a couple of years, but it's been an incredible summer of work we've been able to put in and things we've been able to accomplish. Our 7-on-7 tournaments went well all summer, and we were able to build kind of what I wanted to build here through June and July and get ready for week one coming up here in 6 days. So excited to get rolling.
All right. And if people walk by the studio and they see you and they want to ask a question, now here's the common question I get about Tanner Matlick being head coach. Can a non-teacher be a head football coach and do a successful job with the expectations at Mercer County High School? Your answer is what?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, it doesn't change much for the kids other than my face isn't in the school through the day-to-day stuff, right? The summer carries on the same. Our schedule stays very, very similar to when the kids are in school. We start practice at 3:30 still. The kids will get out at 3 o'clock and get ready for practice, and we'll start rolling at 3:30. So the only thing that's really different is my face is not in the school every day, but we have coaches on staff that are going to be in the school every day. So if we need to hand out scouting reports on a Monday morning, if we need to make an announcement at the school, we have coaches there that I trust that can get the job done and kind of monitor the kids throughout the day as well.
And you work in town?
Yep, too, and I work here in town, 5 minutes away from the school, if that. So, yep, very short commute for me. And like I said, I don't think it's something that can't be done. It's been very smooth in the summer and here in the first day of school, first couple of days of school.
So what enticed you about saying, hey, I want to give this thing a go and be the head coach when Coach Hofer stepped down? That was the initial name that we heard. Matlick's going to apply. What really interested you in taking this thing over?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, it's a school I played high school ball at, right? Then you leave, you go on, have some success at the college level. And ultimately, I always felt like I always wanted to come back and contribute to the school. And when I did that, and my dad even said this to me, it's like, man, you someday, at some point, you need to be a head coach. Because I had that itch to kind of do things my own way and run the program or run my position group how I wanted to run it. And then when that position opened up and when Coach Hofer stepped away, I think it was just an automatic thought in my mind. It was something that I wanted to go for, and it's something that I've always kind of aspired to do, right, is be a head coach, especially here at Mercer County, a school I went to and had some success at. So,
well, and that's an interesting point you bring up. So we all know state championship 2012. So, but when you coach kids, you know, it's interesting. You cannot always default back and said, hey, you know, whoever, so-and-so, I played on the 2012 state championship team, so you better listen to me. And, you know, if you look at 10 years ago, most of these kids were, what, 7 or 8 years old, maybe some of them remember. What's the, like, the margin in terms of using some of that, but then not going overboard and where the kids say, oh, God, he's going to tell us a 2020 or 2012 story about Amboy or whatever yeah. game comes to mind. So how do you deal with that, I guess?
Honestly, Jim, I try to stay away from it as much as possible. I think I told one of the news stations that were at practice the other day, the kids know the narrative, right? They don't need me saying, here's what we did in 2012, or here's the scheme that worked in 2012. And football's changed since then, candidly, right? Offenses have evolved, defenses have evolved. So a lot of the stuff we did in 2012, some of it is still relevant, but some of it's really not, right? And like I said, the kids know what's going on here. I try to stay away from it as much as possible, because if you talk about that kind of stuff, the kids, you know, they'll just start to roll their eyes. And I know when I was in high school, I didn't want to hear about the glory days from my coaches, you know, if at all, right? So they just want to go out there and have success of their own. And that's kind of the mindset I've taken into this thing, is I want to win a state title for this team, right? I don't want to sit here and talk about 2012 anymore. And I've told our coaching staff, some of them were on that staff in 2012, and, you know, I've told them, stay away from talking about that team as much as possible, right? We want to win this team a championship, you know, and move this team into a successful position and give them the spotlight.
Well, something that I want to ask you about is, I know, like, when you take over as a head varsity coach. There's probably a lot more that goes into it than people really realize. So, you know, it's not just like coaching the games on Friday nights. And I know coming up this week, obviously, if you look at the forecast, the temperatures are going to be, you know, really hot. And I think, like we were talking a little bit before we started, that's going to impact like practice plans and potentially, you know, the game too. So what kind of is like a plan maybe you have in place for the heat that you're going to be dealing with, you know, week of into the game on Friday night?
Yeah, so I've been working with our AD on what exactly the IHSA rules are. From what we've looked into, it's not exactly by the actual temperature rating. It's a, I think it's like called a wet point scale, and they have it in tiers, right? If it's in a, if that wet point is in a certain tier, looks at practice limitations, conditioning limitations, and then if it gets to a certain point or above a certain point, gets into like no contact, no equipment, you can do walkthrough. And then again, if it raises to another level, there can be no practices started or no contests started at that point. So we have been monitoring that. I've told the kids just to stay tuned as we roll into this week with the heat coming up, that practice schedules may change. We may have to practice either before school or late in the evening to avoid any restrictions there and still get a good weekend of practice, right? And then as far as our Friday night contest goes with United, I would assume the two athletic directors would work very closely on that and determine what is the safest for our kids and what will work out best logistically on both sides. So yeah, it could be a little bit different of a week for us. And to your point, Ty, these are the things that when you get hired, you don't necessarily think of as a head coach. And there's been a lot of that in that this first year, not just this heat coming up this next week. It's the paperwork. It's managing emotions of the kids. It's dealing with the things outside of the X's and O's that you don't really think about when you take a job like this. But it's all been worth it. I'm super excited to get rolling with these kids, build these relationships, and have some success while we do all that.
Yeah, what do you think the biggest adjustment has had to be for you taking over as a varsity head coach?
I think it's just how I balance my days, right? Through work, through family time, the dedication to coaching obviously is a lot. So just setting that expectation with the family, with my place of employment, that, hey, this is a big commitment. And my employer has been fantastic through this whole process, giving me the time. They want to see me give back to the community, a local company here in Aledo. So they understand what this program means to the community and what we need to do to have some success. So they've been great to work with. And then just the differences in my lifestyle, right? You don't have a lot of time to think about a lot else other than football if you want to be successful. So that's been kind of consuming. You know, you have early mornings, late nights, but like I said, it's all been awesome so far this summer, and I'm looking forward to the season.
And just kind of, you touched on a little bit, you know, playing United week one, that's the crossover with the other side of the conference, and then you have St. Bede week two, and then your just regular conference games the rest of the season. Looking at just the 2023 schedule kind of overall, I know you don't want to get like too far ahead of yourself, but just generally when you look at the schedule, what are kind of your takeaways?
Yeah, it's a good schedule for us, and it's much different than what we've had in the past with the normal Lincoln Trail. So we see some teams in there that we haven't traditionally seen in the past. So it'll be a good challenge, especially as you think of us transitioning to the track next year, right? So we see teams like Farmington, Knoxville again. Then you see a team like Macomb, who was a powerhouse last year. I know they graduated a little bit and lost some kids, but I'm sure they'll still be a very, very solid football program this year. You see Illini West, who's had success, and then finished the season with, I believe, EB or Macomb and Wes Hancock there. So, yeah, it's a good schedule for us. It'll get us ready for the track, I think. It'll be kind of a stair-step process, right? So we played in the LTC last year. We're playing in this Lincoln Land this year, which I believe is a step up from what we saw last year. And then we'll be in the track, which is undoubtedly a step up in competition. So I'm excited for the schedule this year and next year as well.
And looking at just kind of your roster makeup, can you speak a little bit about maybe some of the kids you're expecting a lot out of?
Yeah, so we have a lot of kids that have had a lot of varsity time on both sides of the ball. So I'll start, you know, traditionally with our quarterback, who is a multi-position player for us. So he'll play quarterback and safety. And then we'll go through the skill positions here. Tannen Whitehall, he'll be a new impact or a new face, I guess, for us as a sophomore. He'll be our lead back in the backfield. And then you look at some of the other positions that are senior-dominated. Up front, we'll have two seniors, on the offensive line. Probably going to be rolling with a couple sophomores there. Will Fredrickson on the outside, who's been outstanding all summer for us, playing receiver and DB. The Blazer kid, he's been great this summer. So yeah, we're loaded with talent, in my opinion. It's been a great summer, understanding who's who and who's good at what. So yeah, we have a lot of guys that are going to be able to be very high contributors on both sides.
So when you look at expectations, what are they? That's what people say. How good do you, you know, you walk into the barbershop or wherever you want to go in downtown Aledo, they'll say, how good the Eagles going to be? So how good do you think the Eagles going to be this year?
You know, Jim, in my opinion, shame on our coaching staff if we don't believe we can win every single game, right? That's my mindset going in, and that's the approach I've always taken to football, right? You want to go out. You want to perform at a very high level, and I've instilled in these kids this summer that we expect to be a great football team. And we've taken the necessary steps to get there, in my opinion, this summer. So my expectation is that we go through the regular season expecting to win every single time we step on the field, right? And if you don't have that mindset when you walk onto a football field, there's got to be something wrong, right? So in my opinion, my expectation is win every football game we play in. I think we can achieve that if we play really, really well. You know, I told my dad after I think the second 7-on-7 tournament we played in and our camp week that I am super excited about this ball club. And I think a lot of people don't understand how high of expectations our coaching staff has for these kids this season.
So I always reflect back when I speak to a young coach, you know, getting into it for the first time in the learning curve. I always remember the great story Brad Dixon told me. And I was talking to him, and it was two summers ago or three summers ago, so it would have been like 2020. And I said, what do you think Brad Dixon of 2020 would say to Brad Dixon of 2011? He said, well, Brad Dixon of 2020 would probably fire Brad Dixon of 2011. So there's a learning curve, and you talked a little bit about it being a head coach. You didn't think about, and I'm assuming a lot of people now are going to start realizing that, hey, there's probably going to be some changes this week if the heat hangs around, potentially impacting the actual game on Friday. And maybe, well, we're going to have to change from a Friday to a Saturday. I don't know if that's yet to be determined or start time, and then just not being able to practice a full week going into a game week. So that's one of the things. But just approaching it from a learning standpoint, being head coach, as it, you know, coaches like to say, it's a process. So, I mean, you're expecting this
absolutely
going to be a process.
Yeah, yeah. If you're not learning every single day, learning something new about the team, learning how specific schemes work, you know, if you're not learning, you're not trying hard enough, right? And I'm blessed to have coaches on my staff that have been head coaches in the past or have, you know, 10 plus years of experience. So they've been a great sounding board for me. I think this past Thursday's practice was a little unorganized from my perspective. Felt like I failed the team a little bit. So I was kind of talking to Coach Fred Lucas about that, and he kind of talked me off the ledge on that day. But, yeah, it's been good for me to have those older guys on staff that are good for me to talk to and kind of give me some mentorship through this first year of head coaching and kind of help me learn the ropes of being a head coach as well.
Coach, good luck with week one, and we'll talk to you in studio next Saturday.
Appreciate it, Jim. Go Eagles.
All right, go Eagles. I always remember the great Nat's uncle. He didn't say, why not us today, though. I'll say, why not us? All right, we'll take a break. Come back with more as we wind down our first sports line of the 2023-2024 school year.